Hello there, welcome along to the RTE Soccer Podcast. Lots to chat about. Of course, the League of Ireland resuming this weekend. We've got the Euro starting as well. And of course, Ireland have been in action against Andorra and Hungary. James O'Toole is with us. Also joined by Stephen Kelly, former Irish international, and by Gary Rogers, ex-Dundalk, Sligo Rovers, etc., etc. Could go on and on and on and on. James, you looking forward to this big footballing bonanza that is the European Championships?
It should be good, Adrian. In fairness, it's they've done well to actually get it going, considering the situation we're in. So roll on Friday evening, we get the first match out of the way, and it'll just snowball from there, hopefully, and we'll be in for a very, very good tournament with some, hopefully, some upsets with some of the groups that we've looked at.
Okay, we'll chat about the Euros very shortly, and we'll chat League of Ireland and the resumption of the league at the weekend, and the Women's National League, of course, taking a break this weekend. But let's start with the Ireland matches, the two end-of-season games against Andorra and Hungary, a 4-1 win in Andorra. Troy Parrott bagging a brace, Daryl Horgan, first international goal for him, and also indeed for Jason Knight, and of course for Troy Parrott as well. Bit of a scary one, having to come from behind in Andorra, but they got there in the end. And then, of course, Hungary 0, Ireland 0 in Budapest. The curtain coming down on the international football season in Budapest with a pretty hard-fought scoreless draw in Hungary. Great to see crowd in attendance there, 14,000 in Budapest. I guess on balance, a pretty solid Irish display. Gavin Bizzunu, very, very impressive in the first half, making a super save. Kevin Kelleher on for the second half in goal. He made a couple of good saves as well. Chidozi Ogbeni of Rotherham, like Kelleher, came on for his debut. He could have won it for Ireland late on, but hit the side netting. So let's get some reaction before we get the views of our panel on the podcast, Stephen Kelly and Gary Rogers. But first, some reaction to that scoreless draw in Budapest. Let's start by hearing from the Ireland manager, Stephen Kenny.
You know, the performance wasn't perfect, but I think the togetherness and sense of team was very impressive. And I think Hungary have been 10, I think that is, unbeaten now. They've won their group in the Nations League, and, you know, they've qualified for the Euros by beating Iceland in the playoffs. So they're on a good run. They're at home. This is the sort of their big party to go to the Euros. And so it was never going to be easy. And I think we've had, obviously, missing quite a few players. So the players that come in did terrific. And we created some good chances, and our goalkeeper, Poe, had to play well as well. So it was an interesting game, and everyone gave everything, and, you know, I'm proud of them. A lot of players got a lot of experience, good international experience tonight, which will stand them well in the future. Obviously, we've had a radical change in personnel, a lot of young players with real potential. We want to make the Irish public proud of this team. The players are proud to play for Ireland, and we want that to... You know, we want the Irish supporters to be proud of the team. So we have a journey to go to get there. But I think the games in September are very exciting. We've got Portugal and Portugal, which is a great game. We've got Serbia and Azerbaijan in the Aviva with supporters. So we want the supporters to really get behind this group of players and support them. You know, because they deserve it, because they're committed to Ireland, they're passionate about playing for Ireland, and they want to be the best they can be.
Yeah, that's Stephen Kenny, as passionate as ever after that scoreless draw in Budapest with Hungary. Let's get more reaction now. Here's Norwich City striker Adam Ida.
It was a tough game. I thought there was a very good team. I thought we played very well. Obviously, it was great to have fans back in the stadium, and it was good to have that spirit. I thought overall we did very well.
You created a few chances as well. I mean, Daryl Horgan, when he put that one into you, you got yourself into the right position. That was such a close one.
Yeah, it was close. I think at the time I decided to shoot, but went in at the end of the game, and seeing I could have given it to Jason Knight, the one I shot. But look, we had a few chances. They didn't go into the night, so that's football.
How important was it starting with Troy Parrott? Because obviously you've played with him at the underage levels as well, so there is a bit of an understanding there.
No, definitely. Me and Troy have been playing together since under 16s now. I thought it was very good that we were both able to play tonight. It's probably our first time starting together, first team football. And look, we're still getting used to playing with each other at this level. I thought first half we were still getting to understand how we play, working the system. But in second half, I thought we did very well, and we just keep doing that, and we look forward to September.
And at the other end of the pitch, your fellow Corkman, Caoimhín Kelleher, made his debut tonight, his senior debut. And what a performance from him.
Yeah, look, he kept us in the game, and so did Gavin. Fair play to both of them. And The goalkeepers were outstanding tonight, but I thought the whole team was excellent. I thought defensively the boys at the back were very good, and if it wasn't for them, we could be down. They were great tonight, and look, fair play to everyone.
Can I ask you, Adam, about the decision to take the knee at the beginning, which was, I guess, something that you all decided to do, and then to have the crowd reaction like that? How disappointing was that for you?
Yeah, obviously it's disappointing, but they have their opinions and we have our opinions. If they want to boo, let them do. We know we're doing the right thing, and it's for a good cause. So if that's what they want to do, it's what they want to do. It's not what we want to do.
When did you decide that you were going to do that? Because you hadn't done it against Andorra.
To be honest, we found out a couple of hours before the game that we was going to do that, and I think everyone agreed to do it, and that's what we wanted to do.
That's Adam Ida, Tony O'Donoghue, of course, posing the questions. We'll come on to that whole issue around taking the knee very shortly. But Stephen Kelly, your perspective, first of all, on the Irish performance last night, what did you make of it?
We were solid. We were defensively good. They created a few chances against their opposition. The Wanderers were a lot better than Wanderers were. So it was improved in the sense of the opposition we were playing against. I thought we'd definitely, I think defensively, looked a bit more astute of ourselves. Zunu looks like an absolute showstopper. He's a fantastic young goalkeeper, and I think he's got a fantastic future ahead of him, so he's one to look at. And the combination of Eden and Power up top as well is exciting. If they can get games together and get playing for their club, which will just inevitably improve when they come to the international side as well. So some positives and night in there as well, I just think it's going to be great for us going forward. So yeah, all it was nice to get players back on the pitch, get playing. Duffy back in there as well was good, and it was a solid performance. It wasn't an amazing performance, but it was solid enough and against better opposition than it was.
Okay, we'll go around the tables on this one because we're all at different tables. Gary Rogers, obviously, Stephen mentioned there the goalkeepers, and you being a former goalkeeper, Bazunu and Kelleher. That's a joy for Stephen Kenny now to have an abundance of riches when it comes to choosing between the posts.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you want a goal, you can always throw on Mark Travers because he's got a couple of goals as a goalkeeper as well. So it's brilliant to see the young goalkeepers coming through. It's kind of worrying, though, when you look at the big gap there is between Darren and then the younger keepers coming through. But look, you know, we're lucky to have such quality between Keevan and Gavin and Mark. But both of them last night were excellent. Like Gavin is so assured and so commanding for a young keeper. And you just go back to his first couple of appearances with Shamrock Rovers, where he played Europa League stuff in his first couple of games, and you know, looked really, really composed back then. So, and obviously Keevan playing with Liverpool week in, week out, training with one of the best goalkeepers in the world, is obviously, you know, brought him on no end as well.
It's obviously a specialist position, but when Stephen Kenny was managing you at Dundalk, would he have much to say to you in terms of your goalkeeping? Because as I say, it's a very specialist and select area. So, you know, what was the interaction like between you and Stephen as manager in terms of goalkeeping and maybe advice?
Yeah, no, he'd be good. It wouldn't be so much in terms of the technical stuff, because he does leave that to, you know, the goalkeeping coach. But just in terms of the mental side of the game and speaking to you and getting you involved and kind of making sure that you're on your game for the big games and for every game, really. But he's very good, you know, at, you know, letting you know that, you know, putting you at ease in terms of, like, Gavin would have known he was starting and Keevan would have known he was coming on. So both guys would have been comfortable in you know, the situation that was, you know, for Gavin coming off at halftime would have took nothing out of him because he would have known in advance and stuff like that. But Stephen is always very good at keeping the whole group happy and getting the best out of the players. And you know, that's a real trait of his, and the ability to keep, you know, the wider group happy, you know.
Yeah. And do you have a view on which of the keepers of, you know, the ones we mentioned between Darren Randolph, Mark Travers, Gavin Bazunu and Keevan Kelleher? Now, when it comes to September and the Portugal game, everybody being fit and available, who would you choose?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think you've got to choose the one that's playing football. And like, you know, in terms of the quality, I don't think there's massive gaps in the quality, and they all have strengths and weaknesses. But I think when it comes down to it, you want your goalkeeper to be playing, especially if it's a young goalkeeper, you want him to be playing week in, week out. And I know Gavin has been on loan, and you know, that's probably why he got in initially, because when he did come into the camp, he was the one goalkeeper that was playing. And you've seen where Mark, you know, he made that slight error in the Bulgaria game, and it was down to the fact that he wasn't playing. So I think it will come down to that, will factor into Stephen's thinking which goalkeeper is actually playing week in, week out.
James, what did you make of last night? And we should tie in Andorra, obviously, last Thursday. It seems like a while ago, but obviously it was all part of the end of season training camp. But between Andorra and the match in Budapest, what do you think Stephen Kenny will take from it all?
Last weekend we mentioned that we need to get a win against Andorra, and then a draw against Hungary would be a great way to finish off this series of games and this season as far as international football is concerned. I thought they were probably shocked into actually playing football against Andorra when they went 1-0 down and then got it together, and the young kids did exactly what we thought they could do, score goals. And it was great to see them. I said last night, I think, let's not underestimate, Hungary were looking for a good result last night to go off to the Euros in front of their home fans, and that was nullified not just by the goalkeepers playing incredibly well, but the way Ireland played. I think some parts of it, Daryl Horgan hasn't got much of a mention. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I think he gets the ball, you don't know what he's going to do, and once he goes at a player, it gets a player on the back foot. Stephen would know this more being a defender, but if you've got a young fella running at you like that, it's very difficult to put your body in the right position if he's swapping left and right, left and right. And then, of course, Chidozie coming on as well and causing absolute havoc. I think it was probably one of the youngest Irish sides to start of the game in international football, I think. And I think all those young lads did incredibly well. And it was great for Stephen. And this may now get some of the naysayers off his back for a little while anyway.
Yeah, I guess that is the big question, because obviously, Stephen, when September rolls around and we've got Portugal, and who knows how the European Championships will play out and what frame of mind the likes of Ronaldo and Portugal will be in, you know, that's quite a distance down the road. But I just wonder as well, are we getting a little bit carried away, because we beat Andorra, okay, and it's a battling, and you used the word solid, a solid performance in Budapest. Given, you know, the struggle to get results before that, to get the first win, that monkey is finally off Stephen Kenny's back. But is there a possibility perhaps we're just getting a little bit carried away with what were essentially two end-of-season friendly matches?
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody's getting carried away. I think the Andorra game, for what it was, you know, that game was specifically organised for us to get that win. That's all it was there for. There was no other reason. I think that it was an opposition that we felt we could absolutely beat, you know, and they shocked us in the first 60 minutes. And there was a few lessons to be learned from that game, I think, almost more so than Hungary, just because they pressed us really high up their pitch. And we gave the ball quite a lot when they pressed us. So if you want to have a passing game and play it from the back, if teams are going to press you and put you under pressure, and you have to be able to adapt to that, and teams that are going to be fitter and quicker and better than Andorra. So, you know, that would be a good video to have and a learning curve to see where we went wrong in those scenarios. Because if we're going to try and pass and move from the back and always get it from the goalkeeper, then that's it. It would be a positive for us to be able to build on that. But I think going forward, I think with the next games coming up, Portugal, I think these two games hopefully will make us, they're in a position where we're competitive with these teams. And we're not going into them, I think there's not going to be a real sense of, you know, expectancy to lose. I think everybody's going to be a bit more confident that we can get a result from these games, and that the players are capable and they've adjusted to international life. And these young players have got goals in their belts now, and hopefully that they're feeling more confident. But a lot of it's going to come down to what's happened at club level if these guys are playing. And it's always a difference when you have senior players that aren't playing. They've been there and done it. They've got experience. So the match fitness might not be there, but the capability of playing a game won't leave them. For young players, they haven't got to that level of playing week in, week out. So, and that's what we need for them. We need them to be playing club level to see them progress.
And of course, it should also be factored in as well, Gary, that there were a lot of, you know, what you would call or term frontliners, you know, absent, you know, the likes of Seamus Coleman, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, look, there's obviously been bodies out for the games, but, you know, that aside, you know, you look at the young players that come through, and James quite rightly points out Daryl Horgan. Like, Daryl Horgan was terrific. You know, every time he comes on the pitch with an Ireland jersey on his back, he does really well. I know people might say that's biased, but I've seen Daryl firsthand, and he was unbelievable for Dundalk before he went away. And every time he comes on, he affects the game, and that's what you want. And look, you're right in what you say in terms of bodies being down, but it was an opportunity for guys to go away and new players to kind of bed in new ideas of what Stephen wants, and an opportunity to work together. And you could see that, I suppose, the probably most pleasing aspect of last night's performance was that element of team spirit. I think they were probably lacking in terms of their creativity in the final third. But, you know, in terms of the defensive display and the energy and the heart that was there, you know, that's all stuff that you would associate with Ireland teams, and that was certainly there. And and you're going to need that for Portugal, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Stephen, Chidozie Ogbeniyi, obviously only on for a very short spell of time, but he caused a bit of chaos as well, might well have scored for Ireland, and he's the first African-born player to play for Ireland. He was absolutely buzzing after the game. Now, he's at a club, Rotherham, that you spent a little bit of time at as well. What do you think of, is that good for him in terms of his development, first of all, playing with a club like Rotherham?
It is. I spoke to Paul Warren, the manager, just before the Andorra game, just to ask about him, and just I've kind of keeping an eye on him going there, obviously with another club, and well, I know Paul very well. He was actually, Paul was the fitness coach when I was at Rotherham there, and he continued on to take the manager's job while I was there, and he's done really well with him. So I just asked him about him, and he was very complimentary and said that he can really affect games. He's so quick, and that his development over the last two seasons has come on leaps and bounds just since he's been there. They said just his decision making and his touch, said he's really willing to work. And he said that, but he's such electric pace that he's been unfortunate with injuries this season. But he think if he had been fit, it would have affected the season for them a lot more positively than what it did in the end. And he thinks he would have had a better impact for them. So for us going forward, that's a real positive.
Yeah. The thing about him is, James, as we recall from his days with Limerick, and of course Cork City, and would have played in cup finals against Gary's Dundalk team. I recall him coming off the bench for Cork City a few years ago in the final at the Aviva. But it's his pace as well. He really drives at teams, and pace is such a key aspect of modern day football.
It is, but it's different to pace, if you know what I mean. He has pace with the ball at his feet as well as with the ball not at his feet, where he can put it ahead of him, which is two different types, if you know what I mean. Because if you're consistently moving the ball, a defender doesn't know where he's going to go for the ball if the ball is consistently moving. I remember one of the Cork lads telling us a couple of years ago, watching him at the youths of Cork, and just saying, Chidozie is going to be absolutely special. And he got a brief spell there at Cork City, then off to Limerick, and he was really, really good at Limerick, and that's what got him his move. But it's the ability to use the ball at pace is where he frightens people. And as you said last night, there was one chance where he took it and maybe he could have squared it. Or there was one he got in behind and squared it a little bit too early. But he caused them unbelievable problems. And if you have Daryl on one side and him on the other, God, it's a great way to attack. And we generally need balls into the box. And if those guys can get into positions where good balls can be put in quickly, and that bodes well for the future.
Yeah, and you reference as well, Stephen, Shane Duffy, you know, maybe not quite back at his best, but, you know, a man of the match performance in an Irish jersey last night. Good to see him after what has been a very difficult season for him, both personally and on the pitch. But good to see him getting back to that kind of level that we normally would expect of him, wasn't it?
Yeah, someone who's been such a leader for us, and one of the players that was always trying to grab the game with a scruff of the neck. Like, he's been one of our leading goal scorers of late, and he's been so important and the real vital cog of when we've got done well. So to have a player like that, to give him opportunity to play and get some confidence back and try and brush off some of the stuff that's happened this season. So he'll go off in the summer now in a better mindset and mood than what he would have done, because he's played and he's got man the match. And that's going to be huge, because when he goes back at the start of next season, hopefully that's what he remember, that last game he played and the positives that came from it. So for us moving forward as a country, you want players to be playing and playing confidently and playing at a high level, and Shane's capable of that. And hopefully now with that performance for Ireland will allow him to kind of move on again next season.
And just before we leave the Irish situation, and we'll come on to the jeering of the Irish players taking a knee in just a moment, but Gary, you know Stephen obviously very, very well. He'll be taking a lot of positives, you'd have to presume, from the double assignment against Andorra and Hungary. Given all that has gone on before, and you know, waiting for that first win, do you think he, as a manager, is gaining confidence now in what he's trying to achieve? He's spoken about his vision and how Ireland should be playing football, but do you think that he's driving on and that he will implement that belief that he has in the way Ireland should play football?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're right in what you say in terms of the results and the camp will have given him great confidence and great time with the players as well, you know, to help build that. Because he has spoken about, you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to get, you know, a good run of sessions into players. And, you know, this will all help to do what he wants to do. I think, you know, there's probably elements of last night's result where he probably wanted it. Stephen is very attacking minded and wants to go and win games, and last night's game was so important that he needed to get that result. Couldn't afford to you know, even to get a defeat because of the pressure that has been on him, you know, off the back of the Andorra game. Everyone expects you to beat Andorra. I think, you know, a really good League of Ireland team would be Andorra, to be honest with you. And, you know, the minimum requirement was to pick up that win against them. But last night was very important for him, you know, because Hungary obviously going to Euros, really good side, unbeaten in 10. Now, I can't see them getting out of their group in the Euros, but they're still there. So, but I do think he will gain confidence from that. And, you know, I think if he gets all the players he wants at his disposal, they'll be in a better position, you know, for the remainder of the campaign.
Okay. All right, listen, we'll leave the Irish footballing situation there, the international setup. But, of course, unfortunately, Ireland not involved in the European Championships, which get underway this Friday, the very first match, Turkey against Italy. Live coverage of the tournament, of course, on RT2 television. Lots online as well, and indeed on radio as well, all the way through to the final at Wembley on the 11th of July. Are you looking forward to it, Stephen? Because obviously you were part of an Irish squad that was at a European Championship finals in 2012. But as a pundit now and as a commentator, how excited are you, you know, in terms of looking forward to the deferred Euro 2020s taking place in 2021? Are you excited about it all?
Yeah, I am. I really am. It's very different to be doing it from this side of the screen. Like, you know, I mean, going to one is an unbelievable experience. Obviously disappointed when we got there with the results, but we were in a really tough group and, you know, just came against some amazing teams, probably one of the best international teams ever in Spain. And Spain and Italy both finished up in the final and they were both in their group. So I think we're a bit unfortunate in that sense, but we didn't really perform either. But to be able to do it from the other side, it's great. Really exciting. Looking forward to some, there's some great, unbelievable talent on show. Great teams involved in it. And obviously with a bigger competition, there's going to be, you know, a lot more at stake. But you're going off of the first game with Turkey versus Italy. It makes for a great tournament. And I'm really looking forward to starting now. And I'm actually really interested in England there because I just think the tech and talent they currently have is unlike anybody. And I just feel that if they can't go somewhere in this tournament at this stage with those players, then there's probably no hope.
So do you fancy them?
I do. France obviously are the ones that I just think are more complete in a side. Fair defensive options, and then you put in a goal like Kante for that side, and you can put him in any team and they'd have a chance to win it because he's that good. And then, you know, and then you throw in the front three that they're going to have, a Benzema back in the lineup, Mbappe and Griezmann, it's, you know, foaming at the mouth stuff. But England do have some exceptional talent. They're all young, they're all hungry. And with Harry Kane leading the line and the likes of Foden and Grealish, like I was at Villa with Grealish for a little while, he is out of this world talent, like he really is. So I think they could light up.
Yeah, what's he like as a lad? Is he a good teammate or a good fella to have around the place?
He's an absolute great lad. He really is. Like he gets a bad reputation for probably off the pitch antics because he is a bit of a lad at times. But as it comes to a guy, and like I'll tell you, most teammates are great. But Jack is a really lovely guy. He's very down to earth. Just really nice. Loves football. He absolutely adores football. Like, he lives and breathes and is watching it all the time. Like, watching YouTube clips, everything. Like, works really hard. But his talent, like, honestly, it's such a loss for Ireland to have lost a player like that, because he's unlike anybody I've seen. And when you see him close up in your training room, you're just thinking, this guy is special.
Gary, Jack Byrne was on Game On last night previewing the finals, and he was talking about England, and he mentioned, you know, they were talking about Phil Foden getting the hair dyed and all that, but Jack was suggesting that, you know, it's a different England these days compared to perhaps the England of old, that the mood within the English setup seems to be quite relaxed and chilled out. Do you share Stephen's optimism in terms of England? Do you think they can go deep into this tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and that's probably down to Gareth Southgate and, you know, that continuity that has been there between under-21s, and he's been there in the job for a while, and, you know, the hype around him because it's been so long since they've been successful in the tournament, you know, that kind of hype has probably died down a bit. Now, having said that, they go and win a game or two and, you know, that'll be all. It'll be whipped up again. But look, England, you know, they have, as Stephen says, they have some serious talent there. But like, I think back to the old tournaments, you look at, say, 92 when Denmark came through, and 2004 when Greece came through. Wouldn't it be great to see kind of an underdog kind of light up the tournament and build momentum through it? And look, with the quality of teams that there are in the competition, it's very hard to pick a winner, but like, there's serious quality, you know, in England, that's for sure.
Well, who would be your dark horse, Gary? If you know, outside of the you know, the elite, you know, the Germanys, the Italys, obviously France are many people's favourites. England are going to be thereabouts. Portugal, obviously, you know, defending champions. But you know, outside of the top tier nations, is there a nation that you'd say, yeah, they could give you a little bit of run for your money? They may not win it, but they'll give you a bit of fun along the way.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Wales come out of Group One, like, and give it a run, because, like, you know, they would be a bit of an Iceland, if you like. That group, you look at that group, and okay, Italy, Turkey, Switzerland are all good sides, but I think Wales would probably fancy their chances of getting out of it as well. And I think the groups are so strong, it's hard to predict who will get out. You look at Group F, where you've got France, Portugal, Germany, and Hungary. Now, to pick the two out of that four, it's hugely challenging, like.
Yeah. James, you know, it's a given that you don't part with your money very easily. So where's your few quid going?
That's very harsh, Adrian. That's shocking.
Harsh, but true, probably.
Do you know who I'm looking at, actually? Group B, Belgium. I think if Belgium come out of that group, in the last 16, they play a third-placed team. And then if they win the last 16, the quarter-final is either between the winner of Group A or the runner-up of Group C for them. So I think Belgium could go, I would say, to at least a quarter-final, maybe even a semi-final. So they could be the team that books the trend across the lot. I mean, you're saying Group F is the one with France, Germany, Hungary. I'm not too sure if a third place comes out of that. It depends on how high they finish. Like, so you could technically have France, Germany and Portugal coming out of that group, which then skews the whole thing completely if that does happen. But with England, it depends on how they play against the bigger teams, really. If they can get a win against a bigger team, they could go probably at least to the semi-final, and you never know, they might even make that final in Wembley.
Yeah, and Stephen, what about Scotland? Obviously, they're in England's group as well. It's going to be tough, but Steve Clarke has done a terrific job.
Yeah, I was just going to mention Scotland, because there, for me, would be a dark horse. I know Steve Clarke, he's a manager at Reading. Very good coach, excellent coach, just really good at what he does, motivating players, but technical and tactician as well. But Scotland have a real good nucleus of players playing at a high level, the likes of McTominay, you have Travers, you have Robertson. That, you know, they're probably lacking a real quality striker, but they do have some really good players, and they've done really well to qualify. So, you know, it's not going to be easy coming out of that group with the Czech Republic, Croatia and England, but you kind of think they could be ones that could sneak through.
And hopefully right throughout the tournament, because I did mention the fact that we would return to what happened in Budapest, and, you know, when the Irish players took a knee on Tuesday night, you know, they were greeted by jeers in Budapest. And obviously this tournament has been played across several venues, 12 cities right across Europe. You would hope, wouldn't you, Gary, that, you know, that fans, because there will be fans in attendance, that they will show due respect to what is a very noble cause, and that is to kick out racism.
Absolutely. Look, it's disappointing to see that aspect of it being highlighted again. Like, and, you know, players have been taking a knee in the Premier League. I know players in our league was involved in the decision to take a knee last year when we came back after the mid-season break, in order to kind of show unity and try and play your part to kick racism out of football. Unfortunately, look, there is aspects of that still there, and look, it's an important message for the players to continue with in order to try and eradicate it.
All right. Well, listen, lads, we know it's a very open tournament and it's going to be very hard to pick your winner. So, but just for the hell of it, just for the crack, I'm going to ask you to pick a nation that will triumph eventually in the finals. I'm going to go for Germany, purely on the basis that I watched them destroy Latvia the other night and I thought, yeah, wow. But I mean, it's a hugely difficult group, of course, that they're in. But Yogi Love signing off his final tournament as Germany manager, so I'm just going to go with them. But you could make a case for Italy as well. Stephen, who are you going to pin your colours to?
I don't want to sound too typical, I think, because they're favourites, but it's very hard to look past France for winning. But you know what? All I'm saying is, just because I like the attack and threat they have, I think defensive they're not as good as what they should be. But I think whatever, I'll say England.
Okay, James?
Oh, for England. Well, Jamie, right? Can two of us go for England? No, I'm not going to go for England.
You can, of course. Yeah.
I think, do you know what? I think this might be, like, we spoke about England and having a golden crop of players back in the time of Beckham and McManaman and stuff like that, and just never meeting their peak. This is another golden crop of players that are a little bit younger, But I think they, if they meet their peak, they could well win it. And what better way to do it than in Wembley?
Right. Interesting. Two votes for England. So then, Mr. Rogers?
Surely can't go for England as well. Although I would like to see them do well. But I don't know. I think France are better balanced between the midfield and then the attacking options that they have. And if they can get out of that group, I think France will go all the way.
Okay. All right. Listen, we'll leave the Euros there.
The yeah, Portugal knock them out, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, lads. Listen, many thanks for that element. Stephen Kelly, many thanks for joining us. And of course, Stephen will be part of the RT2 television coverage over the course of the tournament. So enjoy it all, Stephen.
Thank you. Cheers. Looking forward to it.
All right, lads, the League of Ireland resuming, of course, this weekend. And it's obviously going to be going head-to-head with the start of the Euros, but c'est la vie. So on Friday, we've got Derry City Bows. There'll be some spectators allowed into the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium for that one. Dundalk taking on Waterford. And the test venue, at the trial venue, if you will, in terms of crowds returning to matches, Shamrock Rovers against Finn Harps. Some 1,000 spectators will be in attendance there. Then on Saturday night, a couple of matches, Longford Town taking on St. Pat's and Sligo Rovers meeting Drogheda United. But that's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Tallaght Stadium, James, on Friday night, that test event in terms of spectators coming back in. And it will be great to have fans back in grounds, won't it?
Yeah, it'd be absolutely wonderful to get fans back in. Tallaght is probably the ideal venue as well for us. It's such a well-spaced-out stadium that you can put people in. I'm not 100% sure how it works. I don't know if they need tests before they enter the ground or tests within a couple of days after it. But it does seem that not only is that happening, Derry are obviously going to be allowed some fans in for the Bohemians game. Cork versus Cavintilly will have fans in. And then I think Bowes are looking at fans in for the Drogheda game the week after as well. So little small test events. It's great to have people back. And if you're one of them lucky fans who got your hands on the ticket, good luck and enjoy it, because it's been a long, long time since you've been able to go and watch your team play live.
Yeah, and even watching, Gary, the Ireland match against Hungary in Budapest, the crowd, just such a difference having a crowd at a match.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes all the difference. Like the atmosphere there last night, you could just sense it. You know, watching on the TV, and you know, that's what football is about. I think, you know, you want to play, players want to play in front of crowds, and they want to play in front of that sort of atmosphere, and it does help, and it builds. And look, it's a spectacle, and that's what you want. You want entertainment. The crowd certainly play their part. They've been sadly missed over the last year. And, you know, it'll be great to see football and supporters return. And I think it will help. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers and Finn Harps will have 1,000 people at it, and that will probably help Shamrock Rovers.
Gary, can I just ask you, because sometimes people say, you know, with the break, you know, the break came at the wrong time for this club, or, oh, the break came at the right time because they had so many injuries and they need to get players back. What's your view on that? I mean, will most players have enjoyed the break and be ready to hit the ground running, or can it have a disruptive effect on a club?
I think the break, I suppose, it's only really a couple of days you'll get off. You'll get maybe, you know, 4 or 5 days off, depending. Like, some clubs might give a week, depending on whether they're a part-time and stuff like that. And I think it did come at a good time for Shamrock Rovers, because you look at, you know, we were at the Longford Shamrock Rovers game, and you look at the amount of players that they were missing. And you know, although they've got a really good academy and youth policy there, they still were without a lot of senior pros. So I think it would have given them time to kind of get a few bodies back, probably fit for, you know, the second half of the season and Europe coming down the roads. They certainly needed a breather. And obviously, look, you know, it does change from club to club. I know, like, say, in previous years with Dundalk, when the break came, we generally went away to Spain to kind of fine-tune what you would be doing with one eye on Europe. So it was more of a preparation, an opportunity to prepare for that. And there was always a massive focus on European football and trying to obviously get to group stages. And, you know, our break would have been a couple of days, and then you'd be away for 5 days, and then you'd be back. So it does change from club to club and depend on the aspirations of that club and how they're doing, you know, in the league.
James, what's your view on the break and what, you know, the impact it might have on teams?
My view on the break is that this year the break came at the wrong time. I think it's absolutely silly that you've got a league being on a break coming up to a Euros. We've got matches on Friday night,
yeah,
on the first night of the European Championships. It's nonsense to have a break when it was. We should be going into our break now for these 2 weeks or a week and a half while the group stages of the Euros are on. I don't know who makes these decisions. I think, as Gary says, like, there's several of the clubs realistically only get 2 or 3 days off, and they don't get the full 12 days off as people would think they do. Like they, like now Dundalk probably go up to Belfast for a couple of days, and that's the way they usually do stuff. So, but again,
they already slipped that in, James.
you would only get a couple of days, and does it help? I'm not too sure. I'm sure it helps get injured guys back, but I don't know. I just think this time the break came at the exact wrong time for everybody.
Dundalk, Mr. Rogers, obviously, you know, the managerial situation is still to be resolved. Talk about Vinnie Perth going back in, and then obviously the other suggestion being that Jimmy Jilton is going to carry on until the end of the season. New assistant manager, of course, coming in your namesake. What do you make of that?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, look, it's strange, you know, that the man who doesn't want it appears to be getting it. And then, you know, you have Vinnie, obviously, who's actively looking for it. And, you know, there's certainly a standoff there. Look, it's, you know, it's hugely worrying what's going on at the club. I think, you know, whether the owners are going to be there this time next year, it's hard to know. And I think, you know, it looks as if you know, if Jim gets it, it looks as if that, you know, they're kind of keeping a wage. Like Jim is on, you know, he's there as director of football or sporting director, and now he's been there as manager now for 5 or 6 weeks, and it's a case of, well, we leave him there at the end of the season because they don't want to appoint a new manager, is what it looks like. So, obviously the decision has yet to be made, but these are, you know, when you look at what's going on, it's either Vinny or Jim at the minute. You know, all will be revealed in due course, I suppose, as they say up there.
Yeah, and obviously the other suggestion being that Peak Six are going to implement budgetary cuts as well, which would have an impact on the first team squad, and there's the clear possibility that players will be released in July. So that has to be a concern for Dundalk fans, Gary.
Yeah, it does. Look, it's hugely concerning. And look, there was protests there a couple of weeks ago as well. I think there's due to be protests again this weekend. So it's, you know, there's definitely, you know, more going on than meets the eye there. And it does look, for all intents and purposes, it does look as if Peak Six are pulling out. And, you know, if they're talking about budget cuts and, you know, off the back of qualifying for the group stages of the Europa League, you know, to... Obviously, they invested heavily in the squad in terms of foreign imports, bringing players in, and, you know, releasing lots of household names in terms of League of Ireland players and letting them go off to other clubs. So look, their strategy, you know, was a bit puzzling, you know, from the start, and now, you know, the talk is that players are going to be released, and, you know, everyone is on a 1-year deal with the exception. I think there's 3 players there who have, you know, Andy Boyle, I think, has another year, and a couple of the young guys, Val and Ryan O'Kane, both have another year. But, you know, in terms of, you know, players' contracts, there's not a huge outlay for next season. So it does look as if they're going to let players' contracts run out again.
The Rogers I referred to, James, obviously is Dave Rogers, who, you know, had a fine League of Ireland career with the likes of Shelburne, and actually lives in Dundalk, but he's been off around the world coaching. What's your view on the Dundalk situation? Because even as we speak, who knows, within the next couple of hours there could be confirmation of the setup for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it depresses me now every time I speak about it, to tell you the truth, because they seem to have gone from a lot of interest to very little interest in it. But as Gary said, Jimmy Jilton has said it numerous times that he doesn't want to be the manager, but he's going to end up being the manager. I think Rogers going in, he's had good success, to tell you the truth. He ran the Liverpool Academy over in Asia. He had good success in the US. Unfortunately, due to COVID and stuff like that, he's decided to come back. I think he might be a good pick to be the actual manager, never mind the assistant manager. But they need to do something quickly, and they need to get it done. And I'm surprised they haven't used this break to hammer something out and give some kind of information out to the fans who are protesting, and give information across them. It's a sad time at the minute for the club, who Gary only knows we're doing really, really well, and it seems to be all broken down by a lack of communication.
Okay, and James, just on clubs and the structures of clubs, Lee Power selling his holding in Waterford. Richard Forrest is the new owner. I'm sure Waterford fans are waiting to see what's going to happen, but hopefully it's all a positive for Waterford in terms of playing personnel and on the pitch and developing the club.
Yeah, I think so. Like, as I mentioned a number of weeks ago, I remember going to Waterford versus, I think it was Shelburne, the FAI Cup, with 200 people at it, and that was before Lee Power took over. And you could literally count and announce the people at halftime. There was that few people at it. But it was great to see what he did. But it's obviously with Lee, what's happened there is his dealings with the FAI have soured everything for him with the whole, did he get into Europe, did he not get into Europe, and then being told, no, you're not going to be in Europe, full stop. I think that didn't help him. Trying to bring a case against him as well didn't help. I think Lee, if he had been at a different time, could have done really, really well. And that's not saying they haven't done well. They're still in the Premier Division of Ireland. So I think the sale, I don't know much about the new guys taking over, but hopefully they can push it on and bring Waterford back to where we know they can be and just get the club on solid ground and going in the right direction, because it's been falling back over the last couple of months.
Okay, matches in the First Division this weekend. Bray Wanderers taking on Shelburne. Shelburne, who are leading the way. Cork City against Cabinteely, Galway against Athlone Town, UCD against Cove Ramblers, and it's Wexford against Treaty. Yeah, Shell's 5 points clear of UCD at the top of the table. Athlone and Treaty both on 16 points. In the Women's National League, a check on the results from last weekend. Cork City 0, Galway 2. Goals from Chloe Maloney and Aoife Thompson. Big win for Shelburne, 5-0 over Athlone Town at Tolka Park. On Sunday, it finished Treaty United 2, Bohemians 1. Jenna Slattery from the penalty spot and Anna Shanahar, the scorers for Treaty United. And in the big game of the weekend, Piemont United 2, Wexford Youths 2 is how it finished. Megan Smith-Lynch and Anya Gorman, the scorers for Piemont United. They were leading 2-0 in the game. Nicola Sinnott, though, pulled a goal back in the second half, in fact, with 15 minutes to go for Wexford Youths. And Kylie Murphy with a late equalising goal for Wexford Youths. 2-2 is how it finished at PRL Park. We can hear now from the Piemont striker, Eleanor Ryan Doyle, who spoke after the game to Cara Kelly.
We were really good in the first half, and I think we kind of let go kind of in the second half, so I think we're a bit disappointed, but obviously it's not lost, and at the end of the day, it's halfway of the season, and we just need to push on from here and kind of continue getting the wins after the break.
And Piemont have been so dominant this year. I think 16th league game without a loss, that's still really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's an achievement for us as well, and I think we need to work on that and continue with that and kind of not get any losses for the rest of the season.
It was a very tense last 20 minutes of the game. You were looking for that winner, but it just wasn't meant to be today.
No, definitely not. I think Wex really put it up to us in the second half. I think they had opportunities to actually win the match. So I think we were lucky in the end to get the draw. Our second half wasn't good enough, and I think we need to build on from there and kind of work harder.
You've been having a brilliant season yourself. You're top of the leading goal scorer. You won Player of the Month this month in May. You're having a brilliant season.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying my football this season. I think last year was kind of all over the place, obviously, with COVID. And I think this season I kind of got on top of things and kind of working hard and in the gym and stuff. So I think I'm enjoying the football at the moment.
You look like you're enjoying it anyways. And it must be great to be part of, you know, such a successful setup. It probably helps to be able to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah, the girls are great. I think we have a great team there, and even people on the bench every week. I think we've rotated the team a lot. So I think it's really good that we've playing with a great team this season.
And of course you're still sitting top of the table, which is exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, definitely. Going into the break, I think that was important for us, and I know Shell's got the win today and they're a few points behind, but I think if we're still on top, I think that's something to go by and continue working hard, and even at the break and our matches in and the friendlies. So I think it'd be good for us to continue on after the break.
And I suppose the break is good as well to help you regroup. What will you be trying to work on over that break?
Yeah, so the girls are off on their international duty tomorrow or the next day. So I think we're going to have a week off, and I think it's needed for the players. I think we'll be overrun if we continue training and stuff. So I think we're going to work hard, get a few friendlies in. We're allowed to do friendlies now. So I think it's great against the boys and all. So I think we're going to have to work hard, and kind of our first match against Shell. So it's going to be a tough one to start off with.
Yeah, that's Eleanor Ryan Doyle speaking to Cara Kelly. Eleanor Ryan Doyle, who was named Player of the Month for the month of May. Lads, look, we're going to leave it there. That's pretty much all we have time for. Looking forward to catching games over the weekend, be it the Euros or the League of Ireland, James?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Euros. Fingers crossed we get to go to them. I might get to a game on Saturday, actually, because I've got a certain date with an injection on Friday, so I have to get that done, so I can't go to a League of Ireland game, unfortunately.
Oh, right, okay. And you're looking forward to the Euros and the League of Ireland, I'm sure, as well, Gary. Do you know who I greatly admire in life, always have? The guys or the gals who would take holidays to watch a tournament. You know the fellas who would say, I'm taking a week off for Cheltenham because I'm just going to watch the racing. There'll be people like that who'll be taking time off to watch League of Ireland or the Euros or whatever, so... hopefully we'll enjoy it all. And you'll enjoy it all, I'm sure.
Credit Union Brigade.
Yeah. And given your current employment, you'll probably be rooting for Portugal, won't you?
Yeah, I have to be rooting for Portugal, I suppose. I'm looking forward to the tournament. I think it's going to be really exciting. I'd like to see kind of an underdog come out of it and kind of capture the imagination of the public. Like I said, you know, the Denmark, I still remember that Denmark tournament when they didn't even qualify for the tournament, and they were given a place at the last minute and went on to win it. But yeah, it should be exciting. I think, you know, people will be looking forward to seeing this tournament and having supporters there. And as for the League of Ireland, I'll be taking in Sligo Rovers and Drogheda United this weekend.
Enjoy it. Sligo Rovers setting the pace, 1 point ahead of Shamrock Rovers, who take on Finn Harps on Friday night. Anyway, we went through all the Premier Division matches of the weekend already. So listen, lads, we leave it there. We're back again next week. In fact, Damien O'Mara will be in the hot seat for the next edition of the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Gary, thanks as always. And James will be with Damien next week. Until the next time, bye-bye.